Fantastic. Just a big welcome if you're visiting this morning. Welcome to New Life. I wonder if you come and grab a seat. It's great to be here. I hope this morning that you're feeling comfortable. I hope you feel relaxed. You should be relaxed this morning because you're in a very, very safe place today. Do you know that church meetings are the safest place to be? It's far more dangerous to stay at home. Home is dangerous. 17% of all accidents happen in the home. So it's comforting to know today you made the right choice in coming to church. It's also far better coming here than spending the day driving, visiting someone by car. Cars are responsible for 20% of all fatal accidents. It's also safer this morning being in here than even walking on the streets. 14% of all accidents happen to pedestrians. It's safer this morning than even going on holiday, because 16% of accidents happen on a plane, a train, or a boat. In fact, you're the safest place you could possibly be this morning. Only 0.001%. That's 1 in 100,000 people die in church services. So relax, relax, friends. It's safe in here. Now, we may be in the place of least physical danger, but Jesus warned us. Jesus said that actually in spiritual terms, listening to his words was dangerous. Matthew chapter 7, verse 26, the words of Jesus. Everyone who hears these words of mine, says Jesus, and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the storms rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. The greatest danger this morning isn't for anything physical. The danger we face is hearing the words of Christ and then not putting them into practice. So let's listen carefully. Let's listen up as we hear the words of the Bible read to us. We're going to ask Emma to come and read our scripture today. It's a passage from the New Testament book of Colossians. Emma.
Colossians 1, 15 to 20. Christ is supreme. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Bible. Thank you. You've given us this amazing book, this dynamic spiritual book that contains very living words from you. And we pray today, Lord, as we look at the Bible, we look at what you say, would you open the eyes of our heart to understand, to grasp, to be changed, to be challenged? Jesus, would you do miracles in our heart today as we ask Jesus, come amongst us, Holy Spirit, work in our lives. Amen. When you think of great building projects, I don't know what comes to mind. We might think of things that were built centuries ago and that are still standing. The Great Wall of China was built between the 15th and 16th centuries and is over 4,000 miles long. I've walked on the wall a number of years ago, and it's one of the most impressive things that I've seen in my life was this Great Wall of China. Amazing structure. Or maybe you think of the Taj Mahal, this incredible mausoleum built in India took 20,000 workers 11 years to build. It's beautiful. It's impressive. When I saw the Taj Mahal, it was in the rain. And even in the rain, it was beautiful. It was incredible. Something I haven't seen is the current tallest building in the world. It's the Burj Khalifa in Dubai. It's 830 meters high. There is another building under construction, which in a few years will stand even taller. Kingdom Tower in Saudi Arabia is going to be 1 kilometer high. It started, the construction has started, and it will be finished 2019. But as spectacular as any of these are, there is a building far, far more impressive. It's an important building because of who's building it. When Jesus walked the earth, he told his followers he would be doing some building. In Matthew 16, verse 18, recorded there, Jesus said, "I will build my church." And the church that Jesus is building, it's been his project under construction, not for decades, not even for centuries, but for 2,000 years. And of course, it's not finished yet. The construction of Jesus' church is unique. The stones that Jesus is using to build his church are the things that the Apostle Peter calls living stones. Jesus is placing his followers into the fabric of this building. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5 describes the Apostle Peter says, you here today, if you're a follower of Jesus, you, like a living stone, are being built into a spiritual house. And so Apostle Peter had this revelation that the church that Jesus is building is a spiritual building. It's a spiritual house. It's something not of bricks and stones, but of living stones, of followers of Jesus. It's the most important building project of all time. It's eternal. None of the other great buildings I talked about are going to last forever. This building, the church, is constructed literally of you and me and every other Christian throughout the ages. And his church is the reason that Jesus is coming back to planet Earth. Now, the church is described in the Bible using a series of pictures to help us understand, analogies, if you like, pictures to help us grasp what is this building going to look like. And we see the church described as a temple. We see the church described as an army. We see the church described as a family. And we see the church described as the body of Christ. And we're focusing today on that understanding that Emma read in the passage in 1 Corinthians, in Colossians, sorry, 1 verse 18, where this one phrase there, one line in the passage she read, Colossians 1 verse 18 says, "Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body." And so the analogy of church as the body of Christ, I believe, is really helpful in understanding what Jesus is building. See, my head, this head here, well, the contents of this head anyway, the brains inside that head are in charge of my body. The brains in there, my head, directs this body. My body is autonomous. My hand doesn't go one way, my foot the other. Actually, I've got a head that's in charge. I've got a head that's directing operations, as it were. The brain inside this head is in charge of the whole body. And this analogy, this understanding of us as a body, in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks at some length to help us understand what it is. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, he says this: "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body, so it is with the body of Christ. The hand, the toe, the foot, the arm." I'm not sure if I'm a toe or a wrist or a gallbladder, appendix or an artery. But one thing is sure, is if you're a Christian today, you are part of the body of Christ. Jesus physically is in heaven. And so while he's physically in heaven, if you're born again, the Spirit of Jesus is living in your heart. And if you're born again, the Spirit of Jesus living in your heart is going to connect you with other followers of Jesus who also have the Spirit of Jesus living in their heart, and going to create this physical representation of Jesus' body now. For 33 years, the body of Jesus walked around, his physical body. He died, he was resurrected, he was raised up, and he's physically now in heaven. But what he's left behind is, by his Holy Spirit, in hearts of his followers, he has left now physically us, you, me. We are now the body of Christ, and each one of us is a part. And so the church is the body of Christ gives us three helpful insights I believe we're going to see today. The first one, from biology, we know that each part of the body is connected to the head. Take, for example, my hand. My hand, this hand here, as it touches something, as this hand touches something that's hot, or touches something that's sharp, or just touches an object, then that feeling, whether it's pain or heat or sense of touch, that feeling is directly communicated with my head. Sensory neurons carry impulses from receptors in my hands. They go to the brain, they're processed and they're understood. My hand doesn't tell my wrist that it's feeling pain. If I touch something sharp, the hand doesn't say to the wrist, wow, this is sharp. Tell the arm, and the arm says, whoa, we got something sharp here. Tell the elbow to the, and so on up to my head. Not at all. There is this direct connection. And it mirrors so beautifully, it mirrors so wonderfully our individual connection to Jesus. Because you and I, as parts of his body, have a direct connection. Just as these sensory neurons directly connect our body with our head, so we as individuals are directly connected with Jesus. He feels our pain. Jesus is touched by the things that touch us. Hebrews 4 and verse 15 says Jesus is touched with the feeling of our weakness. It's very important. It's very important today that you know that Jesus cares. It's very important that you know Jesus isn't miles away in heaven and here you are on earth and it's tough and he knows nothing about it. It's important that you know, as 1 Peter 5 verse 7, as Peter says, he cares about you. What touches your life touches Jesus. That's part of the anatomy of church. That's one of the wonderful insights we get. Jesus knows, Jesus understands. Jesus is touched by my everyday life because he is the head and we are the parts of the body. And that direct connection that there is with him means he cares about you. I'm going to ask you three times this morning. It's a rhetorical question, but I'm going to ask you a question. How is your connection? How is your connection to Jesus? I want us really this morning to grasp the fact that here we are and we may go through, in fact, we may be going through now some very tough challenges. They could be relational challenges, financial challenges, sickness challenges. But I want us to realize that it's not so that Jesus is up there away from us in heaven and here we are pushing through. Actually, there's a direct connection between me and Jesus, between you and Jesus. So what you're going through touches him. What you're going through touches Jesus and he knows. I don't know about you, but I've become increasingly reliant on my mobile phone. If it doesn't work, I'm kind of slightly panicky. If I want to make a call and I've got no signal, oh no, I need to move around and find a signal for my phone. If I want to send a text message and the battery's run flat, I'm looking for a charging point where I can charge up my phone. And if there's no internet, if there's no 3G, well, how do I live without Google Maps? It's scary, in fact, how much we rely on our mobile connection. How much more, though, is our spiritual connection with Jesus? This minute by minute, this sense that wherever I am, whatever I'm going through, actually, Jesus knows, Jesus cares. Jesus is touched, he feels, and he's touched by my situation. I want to really impress upon us today that Jesus is close to us. Just because we can't see him, just because he's up there in heaven, doesn't mean he's not connected. Just because my hand is a long way from my brain doesn't mean that my hand's not connected. It's instantaneous. It's remarkable how quickly, when I pick up a hot pan, it's remarkable how quickly that's dropped. There's a connection. We have a connection today. But second, in addition to my hand sending messages to my head, my hand also receives direct instructions from the head. Nerve impulses carry these impulses along motor neurons from my head to my hand. My brain doesn't tell my neck, Look, I've got instruction for the hand, the brain, the neck tells my shoulder, the shoulder tells my arm tells my elbow. It's not like some Chinese whispers. Commands aren't passed along a chain of command. One part of the body doesn't tell another part what the head wants. No, it's a direct connection. And in Jesus' church, one member doesn't tell another what Jesus is saying. Every one of us has a direct connection with the head. It's personal. Could we grasp this morning afresh that you and I are directly connected to Jesus? That I can hear Jesus speak to me, guiding me, leading me, directing me. I love John 10 verse 27, where Jesus talks as the good shepherd to us as his sheep. And Jesus says this, you and I, as a sheep follow a shepherd. He says, we're like sheep in some ways. We follow Jesus. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And you imagine there's the shepherd and there's this flock of sheep. And as the shepherd is shouting out and the sheep hear his voice and follow him, they're listening individually to his voice. It's not that one sheep hears the shepherd, turns around and says, have you heard what the shepherd says? He says, follow. And it's like some kind of chain of command. Not at all. They all hear. Do you know, we're not limited to hearing Jesus secondhand. You're not limited to hearing Jesus from a preacher, from Christian TV, from Premier Radio, from a book, or even another Christian. Of course, we can and we do hear Jesus speak through all these ways. Of course we do. Last week, I was sat over at the back, and as Bob was preaching, towards the end of what he was saying, suddenly I had this experience that you may have. I pray you have it today. I had this experience where suddenly it seems as though the rest of you weren't there. Some of it seems like it even wasn't Bob speaking. But it seemed like God was speaking direct words into my life. Because what he was saying, even though it was not only the words of Bob. But it was as though God was speaking through him and they spoke into my heart. And it was Jesus speaking to me. And I couldn't deny it. I couldn't say, well, that's just Bob's opinion. I knew this is Jesus speaking to me. And it's wonderful that can happen as you read a book or listen to a CD or watch Christian TV or whatever. It's fantastic and it's wonderful. But more, much, much more important is the truth that you have a direct connection. I have a direct connection with Jesus. We just heard David's on this YWAM course years ago, a long time ago, when I was about David's age, actually. I went on, I went on a youth with mission course. It was only a summer. It was just 4 weeks. They call it a summer of service. It wasn't somewhere exotic. It was Scotland. So it wasn't quite, you know, it wasn't like, you know, Thailand. So anyway, so I was up in Scotland for 4 weeks. And I was a brand new Christian. I'd only been a Christian about 10 months. I became a Christian at college, and it was my summer holidays. And so I went on this course, and it was fantastic. And in those 10 months, I was a voracious reader. I'd read something, I estimate, about 200 Christian books in 10 months. I just couldn't get enough. And mostly they were testimony books, books of how God has worked in this person's life. And they were just fantastic. So you think, wow, God, you can do that. God, wow, this is incredible. But the trouble I found was that the more I read these books, the more it seemed to make my faith less real and make my experience of Jesus less personal. I got excited for what God was doing in the people who wrote the books, but as far as what God was doing in my life and me hearing Jesus, it kind of seemed to kind of distance me. And so I went to see my YWAM leader. I thought, I need to go and talk to someone about this. I'm on a YWAM course, so I'll go and see my leader. So he was a lovely man. Went to see him. I said, look, this is my problem. I'm reading all these Christian books. As I'm reading them, I seem to be getting further away from God. And what's happening? He paused for a moment, looked at me straight in the eye. He said, you need to be delivered from a spirit of Christian books. I thought he was serious for a moment. But then a glimmer came into his eye. And I realized he was joking. The solution actually wasn't that I need to be delivered from a spirit of Christian books. Actually, I need to stop going to Jesus by someone else's experience. I needed to stop having a second-hand Christianity. I needed to stop finding out what Jesus is saying to me by going to someone else. Be it a person, be it a book, be it TV, be it whatever it is. I needed to stop it and connect directly with the head. That's what I needed to do. You see, the thing is, it's very easy just to turn to a book. Turn on the TV, turn on the radio, ask another Christian, and try and connect with Jesus to other people. I want to ask you a question this morning. How's your connection? How's your connection with the head? How's your connection with Jesus? How's your personal listening to Jesus? My sheep, said Jesus, hear my voice. You, me, hear Jesus speak to us directly. That can be as I'm praying in the morning. That can be as I'm reading the Bible. That can be just as I'm waiting on God. That can be just as I'm walking down the street. Some of the most profound times that God has spoken to me, I wasn't expecting. I was just walking down the street and suddenly God has spoke to me and I thought there was another person there around because God's just spoken into my heart something. We have a direct connection with Jesus. See, there's a warning in the book of Colossians. Paul warns the Christians in Colossae. He says this in Colossians 2 verse 19. He says there's a problem in the church. Some Christians have lost connection with the head. So they're in the church and these Christians are not listening to Jesus. They're not praying. They're not reading the Bible. They're not waiting on God. They're not open to listening to what God says. Maybe they're just listening to the preacher, listening to Paul, whoever, seeing, well, what's God going to say today through the preacher? Maybe they're just putting the radio on. Let's see what God says on the Premier Radio, UCB, let's see what God says. Maybe it's picking up a Christian book. But whatever, they had lost connection with the head. So Paul's warning is be careful. Be careful because as followers of Jesus, you and I have the wonderful privilege, the incredible privilege of this direct connection that just as in milliseconds, an electrical impulse is passed from my brain straight through to my hands. Direct connection. So the analogy is so helpful that directly I can hear what Jesus is saying right now. How's your connection to the head? Don't be a disconnected Christian. It's so easy when we're busy. It's so easy. It's so easy to be so busy with life, with family, with job, with all kinds of stuff, with kids, whatever it is, with responsibilities, that actually I'm walking around as a Christian, but I'm not connected. My connection's gone. I've lost my 3G connection. I've got no internet. I'm not there. I'm not actually connected. Just want to really encourage us today. Let's stay connected. Let's stay connected to Jesus. Finally, think of the church as the body of Christ, lead to the third important aspect of the body. As well as having direct connection to the head, each part of the body is obviously visibly joined to other parts of the body. My hand is directly connected by nerves to my head, but also it's connected by muscles and ligaments and tendons and blood vessels and bones to other parts of my body. Paul puts it like this in Ephesians 4 verse 16. He says, the whole body... Paul's describing the church. The whole body, this is the church, is joined and it's held together by every supporting ligament and it grows and it builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So my hand, from the other parts of my body, it receives support. Just flop down otherwise, wouldn't it? It receives support, holding it up. It receives nourishment through the blood vessels, carrying oxygen, carrying nutrients to my hands. It would soon shrivel up and die. If it was not connected, it wouldn't last very long on its own. Very important aspect of what it means to be the body of Christ is this understanding that I need you if I'm going to be part of the body of Christ. I cannot be the body of Christ. I cannot be part of the body of Christ on my own. I need my connections. I need my connections. This is what it says. What Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 5. This is an incredible verse. Really let this verse strike your heart. In Christ, we who are many form one body. Okay? So next to you is an elbow. You're an arm. And the person on the other side is a hand, whatever. It says then this, listen to this. Each member belongs to all the others. Wow, that's quite a big thing he's saying there. He's saying every part of the body of Christ belongs to each other. In other words, I'm not just responsible for my own life. I just get on doing my own thing and I go to church. No, actually, I'm so vitally connected. I'm so relationally connected. I'm so connected by these joints and these ligaments and these blood vessels and these whatever else. I'm actually so connected that actually I belong to you and you belong to me. That means we have responsibility for each other. Responsibility to pray for each other, responsibility to love each other, responsibility to forgive each other, responsibility to help each other, because we are joined together. We're in this thing together. You look around at the room, you think, I'm not so sure about it. No, I'm sure not. See, this amazing process, it's a process that God's doing. When a person becomes a Christian, when I became a Christian, I set from being an individual. Before I was a Christian, there's things I wanted to do, there's things in my life, my plans, my purposes, things I wanted to do. The moment I became a Christian, I stepped from one thing into another where now I belong, not to myself, but to you. Look at the process that he's describing in Ephesians 2 and verse 12. Ephesians 2 and verse 12, it says, you two are being built together. That's a process. So you, there's a process going on between you and every other person in this room, where you're being built to become something, to become a place, a spiritual house, this dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That's why our relationships here in the church are so important. It's the horizontal aspect of church. Two dimensions to church. There's the vertical one. There's my individual, your individual connection with Jesus. And then there's the horizontal connections in the church by which we're relationally joined together, belong to each other, being built daily into this thing, not in a theoretical way. I don't know whether you knew, but at New Life, we have a church building program. Good news is it's not going to cost you any money. But on the other hand, it could personally be costly to each one of us. That sounds like a riddle. That's a paradox of the kingdom of God. See, it could be easy to have an offering. I said, right, we have an offering today. We're going to put a big basket here, and we want to build a great building over there. So come on, everybody, let's all give our money, and we could all give some money. We could go and build a building. But actually, the building that Jesus had in mind isn't physical. It's relational. It's connected, it's spiritual. God doesn't want a physical building. Physical buildings are great. It's a great blessing and a great resource. But actually, Jesus is building his worldwide church. And so actually, what he's looking for is me to give some of my life into you. What he's looking for you is if you would give some of your life, your effort, your time, your prayers, your love, your care, to other people here in this church. That's what he's looking to do. He's looking for us to give more than money. As I said, money's easy. Actually, this is far harder. Because it's my time, it's my effort, it's my heart, it's my life. That what would be built here would be wonderful. Have you ever found a perfect church? I never have. I've been a Christian for a long time. This one isn't perfect, by the way. It's got me in it for a start. And then it's got you in it too. You know what they say, if you find a perfect church, don't join it because you will spoil it. But this church has a building project, and the building project is that Jesus is building something amongst us in our hearts and our relationships. If you ever visit something that's being built, then a building site is a messy place to visit. Sand, cement, rubbish. Oh, it looks a real mess. Sometimes my life can look a mess. Sometimes your life, our relationships can be messy. Sometimes church can be messy. But if God is building something, if he's building something, then in this building site is going to rise what God wants to build here amongst us. A number of years ago, we had a couple in the church, and they decided to leave the church. They weren't happy about some emphasis of the teaching. They wanted a particular, something else they particularly were after. So they left the New Life and joined an internet church. The advantage of internet church is as virtual services. You just log on. You pay your tithe by credit card online. You listen to the sermon. You download the sermon. You email your prayer requests. And the massive advantage is there's no difficult people to get on with. John Wesley said this, there's nothing more unchristian than a solitary Christian. See, God's led us as a congregation to put effort into building our connections, building our relationships. And the thing about relationships is this, is that relationships are nothing like railway tracks. Now, railway tracks. The thing about railway tracks is that they can go for hundreds of kilometers and be parallel, perfectly parallel. That they can just go on and go on and go on and go on and go on. Now, this is a truism of any relationship, relationships in your family, relationships at work, relationships in the church. It's just true of relationships, is that you cannot have parallel relationships. Because what happens is you've got two choices with relationships. You either are diverging or you're converging. You can't walk in a parallel path with someone. It just doesn't happen. It's just not how relationships are. It's just not the dynamics of relationships. You can't say, well, here's me, here's you. Let's just kind of walk. Let's keep the distance between us. Either relationships drift apart or relationships are becoming closer together. It's one or the other. And that's true in your family. And it's true at work. And it's true here in the church. And so we can't just say, well, church is great. Love all the friends at church. We'll just keep things as they are. Just great. Actually, we're either going to drift apart or, as I believe God wants us, to head in a direction where I'm getting closer, you're getting closer to me. I want to ask this morning, my request this morning was, would you put effort? Thank you so much. I want to just say thank you so much for all the prayers, all the love, all the stuff that flows amongst us. We're so grateful, so grateful, so grateful. But we can't keep where we are. We can't say, well, this is great, let's just keep it. Let's have it like this now. Because if we do, it will just drift and we will diverge and it will get less. Actually, we've got to be heading in a direction which is together. We've got to be heading in a direction where you and I are heading closer. Where on my heart, I want to pray for you more. Well, in my heart, I want to think, how can I bless that person? What can I do to really encourage that person today? I want us this morning, we're going to finish, and what I want us to do is just to be quiet for a moment, because I've talked about three different things, and maybe one of those things is particularly relevant to you today. And so I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and work amongst us. Let's close our eyes as we finish off, and let's just allow God to speak amongst us this morning. Jesus, thank you that you are building your church. And Lord, we're so excited that in your mercy, you have included us in your building project. Lord, you've taken us just as we are, Lord, to include us in your purposes. Thank you so much. I want to ask today, Holy Spirit, would you speak to individuals here just the thing that they need to hear, the thing they need to know from you today. Thank you. We can all hear your voice. Jesus, thank you. I just want to start by saying this morning, if you don't feel that Jesus is close, if you don't feel his care, if you don't feel the fact that he knows, if you don't feel the fact he understands, if you feel isolated, if you feel alone in a situation, you don't sense that you're connected directly to the head today, then would you just open your heart to Jesus and say, Jesus, could you show me, could you reveal, could you open the eyes of my heart to see this connection, to know that I'm connected to you? And for some of us today, we just maybe feel a bit disconnected from hearing the voice of Jesus. Maybe we hear it secondhand. And actually, Jesus, we have a direct, my sheep hear my voice, says Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are his sheep. You will hear his voice. Still your heart before him today and say, Jesus, here I am. Could you teach me to hear your voice? Could you open my ears that I might hear you? Could you help me to make time to pray, read the Bible, wait on you? God, would you speak Jesus so directly into my life? thank you, Lord. Just feel today that maybe some of us who have been hurt in the past by maybe what church leaders have said, maybe a church leader has said something that has offended, has hurt us, has discouraged us, as though we need to go to someone to hear what Jesus is saying rather than hear Jesus ourselves. And just this morning, I want to, just on behalf of any church leader, just say sorry. Just apologize. Say sorry if any church leader has said something to direct you or to say something which has to lead you, or anything that has not been from God or been discouraging or torn down and not been helpful. And just encourage you today to forgive, put down, and directly look to the head of the church, the one who is directing, the one who is leading, the one who is in charge. Some of us feel discouraged by our church experiences in the past, and just want to break that off your life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Just feel, so some of us sense the fact we don't feel, just don't feel connected to other people for whatever reason. And just from our hearts today, a cry to Jesus, would you melt our hearts together? Put genuine love in our hearts for each other. To care, to pray, to know we belong to each other.
There. Well, you may remember a couple of months ago, we prayed for David, Paul and Barbara's David, who has gone off to the Republic of South Africa to work for YWAM, Christian Missionary Organisation. And by some amazing coincidence, if I press that button there he is! Joining us from South Africa. David, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Fantastic. Matthew, knock off the lights. That'd be great. Okay, well, there's a camera here as well, so everybody give David a big wave. So our man in SA, we've got a few questions for you. You ready, David?
I'm ready.
Listen, mate, tell us a bit about what you're doing in South Africa, what's going on there, and how it's all working out for you.
At the moment, I'm doing my DTS, which is a discipleship training school, and we are doing a course that is over 12 weeks, and at the moment we're on our 8th week, and it's about learning about calling in your life and about the next step to where you're going to go after now. So I've really been learning a lot, and God's been speaking to me a lot, and yeah, it's been fantastic. Yeah.
Okay, Johnny, listen, tell us, how does your day work out? I mean, what time do you have to get up? Do they have you up early, or do you have to stay up late, or what do they do? Yeah, how does your day work out?
We have like a schedule each week. Generally, I wake up about 6:30, and then, you know, time for, you know, praying in the morning, and then our school starts at 8 and goes from 8 to 1, and then we have the afternoon off. And then we sometimes have a worship session in the evening. And so sometimes I get to be part of that. And It depends from day to day, but most of the time it's there's a schedule, and you will do one day worship, and then so on. But yeah, most of the time it's just morning lectures, and then you get the afternoon off, which is really nice. Yeah.
So I asked some of the youngsters here, what do you want me to ask David? And they said, have you eaten anything disgusting?
I've eaten nice things. for my outreach, which I'm going in 1 month's time, I'm going to Thailand and Indonesia. And so I've been told they're like snake heads and cockroaches and all sorts of delicious things that you can have on a stick. So maybe in a month's time you can ask me the same question. I'll give you a gruesome answer. But yeah, not at the moment, no. I've been eating nice things so far.
We expect to see photos.
Yes.
So have you made any good friends? I mean, from your Facebook pictures, it looks like you're there with like a great looking bunch of people. Have you made some new friends?
Yes, yeah. There are 12 students in my class, including myself, and it ranges from different ages. So most people are about 17 or 18, and then there are a few people who are about 30. Well, there's one person who's 30, one person who's 40.
As old as 40?
Yeah.
My word.
So it's youth at heart.
Okay, so just to finish up, what kind of insights do you feel God's brought to you with working for a missionary organisation in South Africa? What encouragements have you got for us for what you're doing?
I think, yeah, God's just really been opening my heart to see where there's poverty and when there's places of there's no God. God still stirs up people's hearts. And so I feel like, you know, even like back home where you guys are, like God's in your workplaces, God's everywhere, you know, he was already been there before you got there. And so, yeah, keep going, keep doing the work you're doing, because God will use that situation, your workplaces, that he will bring his glory more. So that's something I've been learning here, because God's already been here before I got here. So, yeah.
Okay, well, listen, thanks a lot, dude. Rest assured, we are all praying for you, and we're all looking forward to seeing you soon. And Hickman Senior told me I had to kind of keep this short because he's preaching today, and he wants the time. He doesn't want you to have the time. So, so listen, we'll see you soon, and give a big wave, everybody. New Life, South Africa.
And can I just say thank you very much for the card? I really enjoy it. So, and thank you very much for everyone who's praying for me, and my cell group who's praying for me as well. Yeah.
We'll see you, David, yeah?
I'll see you.
Take it easy.
Bye.